Podtacular, the unofficial Halo Universe podcast, presents episode 885, VIP Tuning, recorded live on July 25th, 2024. Hello, everyone. Welcome to Podtacular, the unofficial Halo Universe podcast. I am one of your co-hosts, Duststorm.
I'm your other co-host, Godzilla T.
And we can see GT from the side this time.
Yeah.
You get the side profile.
Not looking at my nose anymore.
No.
Well, anyway.
Anyways, yeah. We've got a big pot of news to actually discuss today, so we're going to change topics of what we were going to originally talk about, which was going to be Shadows of Reach and Divine Wind, and talk about the next update that's coming to Halo Infinite, because there's actually a pretty decent size of stuff to talk about. So thanks for prepping, GT, but we're going to push it out push that out of the week, because news.
That's fine.
I actually got some news to talk about. But before we do that, let's do our Podtacular recap. And with that, let's get your impressions of Sentry Defense, because I believe you actually had a chance to play some, right?
Yeah, we actually spent the night in it. I mean, it's fun for a while, but then it gets a little monotonous, in my opinion. They did a really good job of having a pretty decent map rotation, so you weren't just playing the same map over and over again. The rotation seemed to be pretty good. I don't know if the power weapons are overdone or underdone as far as power weapons and vehicles.
Interesting. Okay. As far as it being against the boss, or?
Well, I mean, just as far as balance.
Yeah. I think I know what you're talking about.
Don't get me wrong. It's nice to have the vehicles, especially when you're trying to attack the boss, because really shooting it with an AR or a bandit, just not even worth the time. I mean, you put half a clip in one before you make one little tick come off of it, which I understand because of the vehicle and power weapon situation. You know, the boss has to be able to take a certain amount of damage from these higher power weapons and vehicles, but then it almost seems like it goes too fast.
Yeah. And I wonder if that's just a side effect, because I don't think you're ever supposed to fight against that boss in Infinite with a vehicle, right? Like, there's no way to even get a vehicle in there, so they've never really tuned. Because my assumption is that boss is just pulled straight out of Infinite. So whatever damage tables
they've changed something, because even in Infinite, he's not... I mean, even on Legendary, he doesn't feel that tanky.
I don't feel that he's very tanky in this mode.
Well, either. I mean, compared to handheld weapons. I mean, he doesn't seem as hard to damage with an AR in campaign as versus in playlist. True. There probably has been a health scale, but to account for the plenty of power weapons and vehicles and all this other stuff. But then there's like on, the map with the big gun in the middle.
Deadlock?
Yeah.
The banished turret? Yeah.
Yeah, you can get on one of the banished turrets, fire over the mountain, and hit the boss from the lookout. Where camo spawns, I think.
Really? You can shoot?
Yeah, you can. Nobody's shooting at you.
Well, the other
you
thing
can turn the turret, shoot up over the mountain, and it takes a little bit of wiggling, but there's a spot where you can actually one of the bosses.
You're talking about with the scrap cannon?
The scrap cannon, yeah.
Okay. See, I know on the other side. The
splash damage will actually hit the boss.
I know on the other side, if you get a Gungoose, you can lob the Gungoose from where it spawns in the little vehicle bay over the little chasm between kind of the sniper rock area by the sniper tower and the wall of the map. You can just Gungoose that thing to Kingdom Come. I don't think you can do that the other way. Like I when I saw
it's definitely one sided
on that map. Yeah, it's definitely one sided. Other maps are better with the balance as far as
there is
the positioning.
And honestly, during the whole gameplay that we played on that map, we only played one game. I was the only one that ever went over there and did it. And the only reason I did it is because I saw a guy streaming the playlist doing it.
Yeah.
Because I would have never even thought about trying it.
No, me neither. Once I saw someone doing that Gungoose trick in another match that I was playing, I definitely used that last Friday.
I mean, but anyway, like I said, it's kind of a catch 22. You take the vehicles out, but then you have to reduce the health of the boss so that your regular light arms can actually damage the thing. But then, you know, it takes away something from the game mode. Because BTB is, it's always kind of been a vehicle play type playlist.
Yep.
So, you know, I did enjoy the game mode. Each map presents its own challenges, especially when you haven't played them before, so you don't know where spawns are for weapons or vehicles. But it's, they're just good for a short-term playlist, but as far as something long-term, I don't think it's going to work.
I think the concept is nice because it is something a little bit different than like a Territories or Dominion.
Or even Firefight.
Firefight.
I mean, it has Firefight-esque mechanics, but you're still playing against another team of real people.
I did see several comments across social media once this came out or shortly after this came out of someone make Warzone in Halo Infinite or bring Warzone back. Because it is kind of like touching into that a little bit. You've got Firefight, and then you've got, I mean, Warzone's kind of
Infinite
like
Infinite is more than capable of duplicating, for the most part, Warzone.
Yeah, they just have to give you the bosses in Forge. But I guess most of them's kind of there now, and to some degree, so you probably could actually recreate Warzone in Forge at this point.
Yeah, you can recreate Warzone, and the canvases are big enough, you probably recreate all the Warzone maps if you wanted to actually duplicate Halo 5.
I've got a mission now to go find Warzone maps whenever they get created and do that for a custom night. Whenever we do our next night.
Yeah. I mean, as far as Warzone as a playlist, I know. Maybe for customs, fine. But I mean, if they bring something like that to a playlist, I might try it out, but I most likely won't hang around in it. Because honestly, I got enough of Warzone in Halo 5.
Got burned by that wreck pool.
Well, no, it's not so much that. It's just the gameplay got boring. It's the same thing. You know, I could predict all the enemy spawns. I knew what was coming.
So there's a way to randomize when enemies spawned and where they spawned.
Even that, there's only a limited amount of time, a limited way you could do it.
I'm just saying.
And without the depth of weapons that Halo 5 has.
That's certainly a challenge.
I just don't think it would be near the draw that Warzone was.
Yeah, because Halo 5 had the variants from the get-go. I would certainly be curious to see Warzone, how it feels with the Infinite Sandbox.
Oh, yeah. Like I said, if somebody would create it, I would try it.
Yeah, we've got some weapon variants, so it's definitely not as robust as Halo 5's weapon sandbox. Which,
well, I mean, for most of the weapons, we have two variants.
Yes.
So,
I would love to see that come back. Like, that weapon sandbox in Halo 5 was amazing. Mm-hmm. I guess you want to have, like, weapons for roles and whatnot. And yeah, there were lots of weapons that had crossover roles for Halo 5 Guardians, but from a custom game perspective, leave them all in there. From a matchmaking perspective, sure, maybe have a little bit more of a subset, but Super Fiesta got really popular in Halo 5. Like, then there's a reason for it, because it's chaos and people love chaos.
Yeah, I was kind of hoping they'd bring those weapons forward. Not for campaign, not for multiplayer, just for customs.
If there's ever like a Halo Ultimate instead of a Halo Infinite, which we thought Halo Infinite was going to be the end all be all, but
there's going to be another Halo.
Yeah. It's like, just bring every feature that Halo's ever had into one game engine.
Yeah, you don't have to make it all for multiplayer or campaign.
Exactly.
Just put it in there.
Exactly.
Let the community come up with how to use it.
It's like we've had like all these real things.
Real Super Fiesta.
I mean, we kind of got it. It's not the same feeling as Halo 5, but at least it's a little bit better. I mean, I play Husky Raid in Super Fiesta as far as, like, I go into the, I forget which playlist it is now in Halo Infinite, but I have those two, quick play, thank you, have those two filtered on, and that's my dailies. Like, yeah. I go in there and I have a good time with it. Sometimes I get stomped, and it's like, it's Fiesta, I get stomped, that's fine.
Yeah.
It kind of hides the whole MMR fiasco with Infinite. It's like, yeah, don't you can't really...
They're fun, but it's not like getting the answer.
No.
I mean,
or the fuel rod that has the multiple explosions, or the grenade launcher,
or Norfang, or
Norfang. Yeah.
Yeah, or the what was the shotgun?
Oh, Oathsworn.
Yeah. You know, those.
Yeah, that shot. Oh my gosh, that gives me chills just thinking about that.
That's it, right? Thanks, Bobby. Blaze of Glory.
Oh, Oathsworn was
was the one under that
mid tier. Yeah, thank you, Blaze of Glory. Gosh, now I'm gonna go play Halo 5. That sandbox was one of the best sandboxes.
Yeah, I've seen some guys go on tears with it too. So, but anyway, you know, it just
anyone still want to go for Achilles?
We have now is just not the same. It's still fun, but it's not that fun. That kind of fun.
Right.
Phrase that correctly.
I gotcha. I do think something like a Sentry Defense does kind of help fill a mode gap. And granted, there's still a lot of modes that I haven't made it in. And there's a new mode that's coming in the next operation. And we'll get to that in a little bit. But it's not quite fully Warzone. It's not Firefight. It's definitely PvPvE. But the points are purely based on environment. So it's almost kind of like a territories, but instead of just controlling a zone, you have a boss to defeat. So it's there's definitely pulls from multiple other game modes into this experience, but it's different enough where I could see it kind of being its own mode. It definitely needs some tweaks as far as boss positioning, where maybe the weapon tables and damage tables are altered a little bit. I mean, you get a vehicle. I think it's fine if you have a vehicle sitting in front of the boss, it should be able to do damage to it pretty quickly. And I think for the most part it does. There's definitely some sight lines that need to be adjusted for the different maps and things. Maybe just forge some rocks in certain places or some walls. And then for the... I mean, I guess that's kind of the really only sentry type of AI that you get. So I think it kind of fills a little bit of a niche. It's not different enough, I think, to warrant to be its like own unique mode within the greater scheme of things. But it is kind of an interesting take on things. So it's a little bit different. So appreciate kind of the breakup and the monotony. And I'm happy they extended it because I found it quite fun, actually. There were times where I went in solo, which I know when you go in solo in big team, you're bound to get a crazy back and forth of, okay, you're going to win some games and lose some games because of the parties that you get. But overall, I really enjoyed it. And I actually a few times did that instead for my dailies because I just enjoyed it that much.
I mean, I didn't say I wouldn't play it, It just, I would play it if it was like part of the playlist.
Yeah, if it was a mode option alongside Slayer, Capture right. the Flag, Total Control, Stockpile. Like if it was in the rotation, I think it would be a decent addition. Yeah. It needs some tweaks, obviously, but I think it fits well within that BTB architecture within at least Infinite.
Yeah, I tend to like the objective based game modes more.
Same.
Than just straight up Slayer. Because I suck at slaying, so
I'm still hit or miss. I've gotten better at Infinite, but I'm still hit or miss at Slayer. I could be completely on fire in a few games, and then I'm completely trash the next few games. And sometimes I can go for like a week or a month without playing, and then I hop right back on. I am getting no scopes and headshots that don't make sense.
Yeah,
and then after a week or so, I'm back to my normal.
Usually my first game's great. My second game is not as great, and then they just go to the toilet from there for the rest of the night.
So you need short bursts of playtime.
Shortly after Bobby shows up.
Short controlled bursts. Oh. Well, that's probably more of a Bobby problem than a problem. Yes,
Bobby has a problem.
Bobby and Keys, I don't know where Confal exactly sits in as far as the MMR scaling, but definitely Bobby and Keys skew our matchmaking quite a bit.
I mean, I have to admit, we all do pretty good.
Yeah.
But
we all have our moments. It's like if we were all playing our best, we'd be a pretty decent squad. It's just that we're not all playing our best at the same time. So, yeah, that's Sentry Defense. You know, I would definitely wouldn't be opposed to it joining the regular BTB rotations after pulling it back, giving it some tweaks, giving it a little bit of a touch up and clean up. But did you ever run into an issue where you would get into the match and then it would just end in tie?
No, actually, I did not.
Interesting. So I don't know if that is a issue with the game mode or if that's an issue with Halo Infinite, because Halo Infinite for the past week has been having massive connection issues where people drop out. And I even had an issue yesterday where I hopped in to do my daily and the intro map cutscene just kind of kept spinning through, like going through them all. And then I got banned for unsporting behavior because I was inactive. It's like the game hasn't even loaded. I'm sitting here waiting for the game to start, but it's been 5 minutes. So there's definitely some matchmaking stuff going on. And I know I've seen it all over socials. And I think Halo Support mentioned some kind of backend update that released either today or yesterday to hopefully fix some of those issues. But Infinite's been plagued with a lot of matchmaking issues lately. But yeah, if they can tweak up the damage tables on the sentry boss and maybe adjust some positionings of them so you can't just, especially on the deadlock map, one team can just basically shoot over the map to get the other ones done without any pressure.
I think one thing that they could do that would help, and I know this is not going to be a popular opinion, but to remove the flying vehicles, because the Banshee, I mean, you can literally just hover on the other side of the map and just pepper the boss and not really face anything
or make that damaging. A neutral spawn. Make it a control, like you have to have control over it and you get the upper hand if you get
it. I still think it just needs to be gone. Because on all the maps that have flying vehicles, the boss is way too open. You can come in from pretty much any angle and get a shot on the boss. And you can put sustained fire on the boss for a long period of time. You know, it's all reward, no cost.
I always had the boss target me and then I'd get half my damage taken out. Maybe that's just because I'm bad at flying in Halo and I'm better at driving.
You just have to shoot from outside his targeting range.
Hard to do that in the Banshee. Because the Banshee just constantly moves.
No, you turn around, come back around. You just make loops.
Well, yeah, that's true.
That's all I was doing. And the funny thing is almost nobody was taking the Manchees.
Yeah, I did notice that a little bit. The randoms were not
air vehicle.
Very
big vehicle. Explosion.
Yeah.
I mean, don't get me wrong. We came across a few teams that really coordinated and took me out pretty quickly, but still, it's like, why are you not grabbing the Banshee?
Yeah, randoms in the game were not that great. We had some good randoms that we met up with, but there were several groups of randoms that were just like clueless of what this actually was. But I would say maybe a neutral spawn for the vehicle would work. Having both of them are, I think...
Or maybe limiting it to one.
Well, that's my main being have... Well, in high power, I think that didn't it have two flying vehicles per side? Maybe it was just one, but it seemed like there were vehicles up a lot on high power. I know Fragmentation had one spawn of air vehicle. And maybe high power only had one, but it felt like sometimes
they had Yeah, they all only had one. They all only had Banshees, I believe.
Okay, and I think sometimes they would alternate spawns for Wasp and Banshee or random spawn type of thing.
I don't remember seeing a Wasp, but that's possible.
Maybe just neutral spawn for the air vehicle. Just because having vehicles being a staple of BTB, you want to probably at least have one air vehicle. So,
well, no, like that. I said, you can leave all the rest of the vehicles, but I just, the air vehicle in that game mode seems to be kind of OP. You know, if they're going to have air vehicles, and then you provide a narrower window to damage the boss.
I think that the reason that's a problem is because all the points come from the boss, and there's no points as far as Spartans you kill. It's not like the Warzone scoring system where you get points for killing the bosses, you get points for killing the AI, but you also get points for killing enemy Spartans. So, okay. So that's Sentry Defense. I hope we see it again. It was a lot of fun. And I'm sure we'll see Warzone here pretty soon in Forge of some form or fashion, and it'll probably get put into matchmaking at some point. So we'll see.
I'm pretty sure somebody's already working on it.
I'm sure there is. I mean, they did a battle royale, and the initial releases of that were done within a year of Forge coming out. So undoubtedly someone's been working on the Warzone mode for some time. And I think with this Sentry Defense, someone's just going to kind of finally seal that all together and put it out there. The Forge Falcons aren't doing it at this point. Then I don't know who is. All right, let's jump into the news then. We've got several things to cover because we have a new operation coming up. But before that, we have another small... What do they call these? There was a name for them, but they have the small story. There was a name for them. I forget what they used to call them. But it's Halo Anvil Accord. This is a free kind of small form narrative. It's all based around Anvil Station and the current operation, the one that's going out the door next week. There's an audio book format on YouTube. It's about 20 minutes long. There's the article version of it that you can read if you just want to read on Waypoint, or you can download the PDF there as well. At some point, I think once I finally get caught up on all the books, we'll probably do a smash-up episode of all these little stories and talk about them, because I think this is, what, the sixth or seventh one of these now?
Something like that, yeah.
Thelvet Am, the Arbiter, and Lord Hood are in this, so nice little kind of tie back to Halo 2 and Halo 3. Next we've got is the actual content stuff itself. So the next operation is called... Why am I blanking on it? I just had it. Somebody help me. Why am I blanking on this? Operation FleetCom drops next Tuesday. And with it, there is a lot of Forge updates. There's a lot of sandbox balancing. There is a new game mode, VIP. Teased a little bit earlier. We'll be talking about that. So we'll get to hopefully try that out maybe next week, next Friday. We'll see.
Maybe.
Make sure you join the Discord, podtaggler.com/Discord, if you want to participate and be in our game chat for Friday nights. That's where we do our voice chat. So the first piece of content that they released about this upcoming operation is the new mode VIP. New to Halo Infinite, not new to the Halo franchise, obviously. Haven't seen it since Halo 3, which is sucks for custom games. I don't know from a matchmaking perspective it was a super popular game mode in Halo 3, to my recollection, but it was heavily used in custom games. For the VIP mode coming to Infinite, it's 10 points to kill. VIP has extra health, and if the VIP dies, it says the next player on your team to die takes up the mantle of the VIP. So it doesn't immediately grant the next VIP until the next person dies, which is a little bit different than I think VIP was in Halo 3. I think it just chose a next one at random. If I'm not mistaken, do you remember GT? I forget specifically.
No, there was a condition. It's like the last player to die would become the VIP or something like that.
Oh, so this is the same. Okay. All right. Fair enough. For matchmaking, this mode's going to be on Bazaar, Catalyst, Forbidden, Forest, Illusion, Interference, and Prism. The mode's going to be in Forge and Custom Games, and there are several Forge scripting tool events that you can utilize for VIP logic. You can set the VIP, you can clear the team VIP, you can trigger events on a new VIP getting assigned, trigger an event on the VIP getting killed. You can do a function to get who is the VIP and then set a VFX status. We'll get to a little bit more of that whenever we get to more of the Forge stuff. Headhunter is also returning later in this operation. So the mode from Reach, that's a chaotic mode in and of itself. What's your stance on Headhunter?
Never really got into it. Let's put it this way. I played it long enough to get my achievement. That was it. It was. And it was pure dumb luck. I was actually able to get that one.
I remember several lobby nights that we were helping others get that achievement. It was like, my skull's over here. And then just trying to help people get that 10 skull.
Mine was a total random. I literally, you could not plan this.
Is there a video clip of this?
I wish there was, but I didn't have the ability to record them. I literally, it was on Ascension, the remake, whatever they called it. I got killed and I respawned.
Oh, that map. Yeah. Okay. Yep.
I'm down at the bottom of the chain gun tower, down on that side, the side path.
Yep. Okay.
I come around the corner.
The tower power side.
Yeah, I'm on the low,
sniper spawn side.
Yeah. Anyway, I come around that rock just to see two people die. They killed each other. And Fountain of Skulls. Okay. Cool. So I ran over there, pick them all up. I've got enough skulls to get my achievement. Right then, just as somebody's coming down the freaking ramp to kill my the collection point spawns.
Oh, that's great. That's great.
I'm like, you could not, like, you can't predict that stuff.
The game just saved your butt.
In other words, Halo handed me that achievement on a silver platter.
It did. It really did.
It's like, okay.
Yeah, I won't say no to that. That's great.
And I mean, I could see that guy's mouth just watering with that little number above my head.
The little crown skull or the little crown icon to indicate max skulls. And then, boop, game over. Nice. It's a hit or miss whenever I played it in Halo 5. And I think that really just more came down to my skill, because it's really, in a way, FFA VIP is kind of what it is.
Yeah. Except for everybody's the VIP. At least whoever has the most skills.
Or, yeah, whoever has the most points. I'm definitely willing to try it again because it's been so long since I've actually played Headhunter. I think the last time I actually played it was when it was modded into Halo 4. Yeah. I don't think I've actually played it since then. It's definitely got its moments. I think it's a fun, different mode to kind of mix things up with. So definitely curious to try it again.
Yeah,
with all the movement stuff and all the different equipment in Halo Infinite, it's going to really change how that mode works.
Yeah, I probably won't even.
Because you can repulse skulls off, probably the or whatever. I don't know if they'll use skulls, but
well, if it's the newer, if they've got it laid out like the newer version of Headhunter, it's just based off kills. Whoever had the highest kills on the leaderboard got a nice little big number above their head to let everybody know that they were in the lead. And then if you killed them, you got bonus points for killing them. It depends on which version of Headhunter it is.
I don't remember that specific version. I believe you. I just don't remember that specific version.
I think that was
there's another mode in Halo 4.
They called it Headhunter. They may have called it something else. I don't know.
There was Regicide in Halo 4.
Maybe I'm thinking of Regicide.
Because Regicide is where if you kill the player on the other team that had the most points, you got bonus points
for your team. This was free for it was a free for all mode. So,
well, I think they had an FFA mode too, where the person that was in the lead, like you could get normal points from killing anyone else, but if you killed the person that was in the lead, mm-hmm. who was the king, you got bonus points for getting that kill.
Maybe that's what I'm thinking of. Yeah, that's what I'm thinking of.
I think it was like 50 points or something like that. Because back in Halo 4, everything was done in increments of 10 instead of 1. I'm glad they changed that for Infinite, where it's back down to 1. Because that was just silly.
I never understood that.
It was COD. That's how COD does it. It was part of that.
I don't know why COD does it. Is it just so they can have double-digit numbers? Oh, I got 260 points!
The bigger the numbers, the bigger the endorphins go.
26 kills.
Yep, I know. I'm of the same mindset there. All right. The next article from this update is about the stuff coming to Forge in the operation. The big things of note are you can utilize Jeff Sticer's voice lines in Forge. So outside of just what you have them in normal game mode operation, you can actually utilize over 1,000 different Jeff Sticer recordings in your Forge scripts now, which sounds amazing, because I'm sure we only hear of maybe like 100 plus or so during regular matchmaking. So all of the fun recordings that I'm sure that they have and are not something that you normally hear.
Okay, Forgers, you need to make a map where you can just walk around the map and trigger every single one of the lines.
The example video that they have is you just activate a banish button and you can play it. So that's how they kind of demonstrated it.
You just walk around an entire, just walk around a map, pushing buttons or walking on plates to trigger all the lines.
Well, you could do have you seen the videos of, I think this is probably Halo 2 or Halo 3 development time frame where they have the sections of a map that's every different sound effect. And like whenever you like pull the trigger or something, it plays that sound effect, whatever slice you're in. It's like, just do that, but just every little pad that you step on, once you fire your gun, it plays the Jeff Sticer sound. Yeah, there you go. Or something like that. Or you enter a zone and then you step on the plate. You could probably do that.
Step on a plate. Triple kill. Triple kill. Triple kill.
Over 1,000 different Jeff Sticer lines, though. And the one they have in here is extra crispy. So
I actually think I have that one.
I'm not sure what that one is. I don't know if I've ever gotten it.
No, a while back I found file containing voice lines from Jeff Sticer, stuff that wasn't used in the game. And no, they're not even on my soundboard. Where are they? Anyway, but yeah, there was a whole bunch of stuff that he did, like, stuff that just wasn't used in the game.
Yeah, I think they released several different of those recordings from Halo 4 and Halo 5 that Jeff recorded. Yeah. And There's some of these in here too, apparently. Like the extra crispy is not one that is in the game normally, but they added in here. So there's probably maybe up to 100 separate voice lines that they just recorded in the booth and they're just throwing into Forge.
Yeah.
With the node graphs, you can have a announcer voice play for all players, a specific player, or the team. So customizable there. And there's a custom game option on, that's called announcer voice that you can actually, I think, remove or like have certain things that would normally play not play at all. So like if you didn't want to have double kill or triple kill played and just want to like killing spree or killing frenzy, I think you can modify that in that game mode. Not sure how it interfaces with everything else because it kind of defeats the purpose to have it to a game mode and then not being able to apply it to like capture the flag, or I don't know how that works. Probably a little bit more advanced in Forge than I'm familiar with on Infinite. There's also campaign music you can use in Forge now, bringing some of that campaign music library. There are specific themes that you can bring in, and then there's also some of the ambient type of themes that works as well. All these
bird farts
have a start and stop for all players, team, and player. And then the music themes that they have listed here are Banished, The Endless, Forerunner, Monitor, Covenant, UNSC, Heroic, Special, and 8-Bit. And the next thing is additional UI markers that you can utilize within your custom game experience. And these are being used to support the new modes that are coming in, Headhunter and VIP. But there's a lot of additional capabilities that these markers provide. You can adjust progress on them. You can specify what the marker does. I'm not going to go through all of these because this is a lot of different options that you have within Forge to utilize and customize these. But there's differences as far as like how far away do you have to be from the node in order for the icon to become visible. Is it visible for a team, player, for everybody? The different nav markers that you can utilize are active camo, alpha, attack, bomb, boss, bravo, charlie, dead, defend, delta, destroyed, echo, equipment, flag, foxtrot, generic arrow, grenade, hacking terminal, kill, king of the hill, oddball, overshield, power seed, quantum translocator, vehicle, and weapon. So basically every freaking icon that you can possibly use, you can use in this node scripting now. There's some new text strings and message templates really going to be usable for a lot of those messages that pop up depending on certain events that are happening. So that's going to be a big thing for custom games and experiences as well. And additional new named location zones that you can utilize in your maps. Over 500 new ones.
Wow.
Yeah. And then the armor effect thing, which we touched on when we were talking about the VIP mode, you can now utilize that to specify a V effect that you want on the armor. So the Irritus overlay for infected, you can actually control that now within customs and Forge games, which is, I think, going to be huge. There is a highlight for VIP that helps distinguish that player. They didn't mention anything in here about adding additional effects other than what's going to be coming with VIP and the Irritus overlay for infection, but I'm hoping they add additional ones to that palette because it doesn't make sense to just have two of them. So hopefully that's something that they're going to continue to add. And then there's some other minigame modes that they're adding as well. Asymmetric minigame, BTB, asymmetric, minigame competitive, and minigame competitive asymmetric. So.
Well, that just rolls off the tongue, doesn't it?
Right. Lots of cool things for Forge. Lots of new experiences that I can't wait to play. You know, it's a shame that they don't pay Forgers for all the work that they're doing, because I mean, they're basically keeping Halo Infinite alive, I think, at this point. I mean, look at the past rotation of playlists that have come in. It's all been community created content.
Yeah.
It's like, I hope at some point, if they're not being compensated already, that they get compensated, because I mean, granted, 343 is providing the tools and capabilities within the Forge, but the hours that Forge was put into this, I mean, just look at what Forge Falcon has done, and then you have people like Unique that streams almost constantly when he's forging, and it's like 5 times a week that he's streaming his forging stuff.
It would be nice if there was some type of compensation if they create something that it's actually put into matchmaking.
Yeah. And like, I know there's the whole dev map, community map debate. At this point, with how talented the community is, I don't see that as a really good argument. Like, if the community can really make a map and then...
Well, with the tools they have now, yes.
Right.
Yeah, the problem in the past has always been the limitation of the tools that were available.
Yes.
Exactly. Now, there are still...
There's still some things devs can only do with...
There is still a limitation to it.
Yes. But that gap's getting a little bit smaller and smaller every Forge iteration.
The Forgers, they have things that they have to manage that aren't necessarily a restriction on the dev side. Like product or things on the map.
Yep. If they want to make a certain geometry of a map or a certain piece, Forgers have to pull multiple pieces in. Where for developers, just I move these triangles here, and it's like done.
Yeah. Not quite that easy, but yeah.
The blurring line is definitely getting smaller between the two.
Oh, yeah.
From a visual fidelity perspective.
The part right now, the part that the Forgers are really lacking is they have to be very conscious about what they put on the map so that the map performs well when being played, where the devs can generate the items and you don't take the performance hit, because instead of using 3 items to make one particular item or one particular look, they can just make it look
create a new
they
item.
Want it to.
Yeah.
Right. So, you know, there's still a pretty good gap between a forge map and a dev map. But yes, it is definitely that gap is definitely getting smaller.
Yep. For sure. Next we have is the sandbox update. Lots of weapon balances coming into this, and I appreciate them for doing this. I hope they continue to do this for several other updates as well, because actually seeing a side-by-side comparison is a big way to understand what's going on. But they actually have a few of the changes, the distinct changes that they've made within the weapon tuning, like before and after videos. One of the big ones that has really caught the community's attention is you can actually grenade jump again. So you don't just get damaged, but there's actually a impulse concussive effect, blast. Concussive blast now that you can actually use for grenades. So kind of upping the strategy, restoring some functionality from previous Halo titles a bit. But that was the big one that got a lot of attention, I think, today. Yeah, today. But we'll kind of run down the list here. I haven't had a chance to go through the whole thing, so I'm probably going to stumble over a few of them as I kind of skim and go through things. But the Disruptor has had its damage over time altered. So that's the shock little pistol thing. They've basically made it to where instead of just kind of having this initial super combine and doesn't drain shields any further after that, it continues to drain shields so you can actually get kills quicker with the plain Disruptor. The Bandit Evo has a little bit of a slower shot between bullet firings, but it's a slower time to kill. So instead of 6 bullets to kill, it's now 5. But that time between shots is a little bit more delayed, but that time to kill is still less. So that's been balanced a little bit. Sentinel Beam, they have removed the headshot ability of the Sentinel Beam because they've said that they saw some behaviors with it that was kind of undesirable. So they disabled the headshot capability. and made it to where the damage, no matter where you hit, the Spartan is a little bit more kind of evenly distributed. Ravager has been decreased from 6 shots to 5 shots of direct hit to kill an enemy player, which, thank you, because I still feel like that weapon is not very useful, so that seems to make it a little bit more useful. For the AR, this was a weird one. Apparently, when you got into the bloom state, all the bullets would kind of just fill in closer to the outer ring of that bloom, and they're making a change where now the bullets will be more randomly spread throughout the entire reticle bloom, not just the edges. So a little bit more consistency on the AR. Reload speed on the skewer has been decreased, so it reloads faster. The spanker has been a little bit adjusted, so the damage fall off, so like how much damage is done further away from the initial blast has been decreased. And the max of reserve ammo that you can have goes up from 6 to 8. Sniper and Bulldog reserve ammo has gone up a clip for those as well.
Yay, everybody gets more Bulldog ammo. Just what we need.
an additional full round of Spanker rockets, Sniper rounds, and Bulldog rounds.
Well, I mean, for the rocket launcher, that's fine because rarely do you get to pick up 2 magazines on a rocket launcher, because that's determined by how many rockets the game mode sets to the spawn. Yes, it will be helpful, but you're going to have to do a lot more planning if you want to maximize the amount of ammo in a rocket launcher, where the Bulldog that spawns way more often than a rocket launcher.
That's true.
And is, in certain people's hands, pretty damn lethal. Not in my hands. No.
Rockets are fun. I like my rockets.
So, you know, it'll be interesting to see what happens.
Gotcha. Legendary weapon variants have also been given a overhaul as well. The Stalker Rifle Ultra has been reduced down to 3 shots to kill instead of 4. 3 shots is actually what the regular Stalker Rifle requires. I don't know why the Ultra one took more shots. I guess it's just because it was more rapid fire. But yeah, they've reduced that down to 3 shots, and they've also tweaked some other settings. Apparently, there was some perceived weapon jamming based on just timings of animations and whatnot, so they've tweaked those to make that a little bit more reliable. The Volatile Skewer has had its projectile arc match now the regular skewer's arc. So I guess that's kind of a nerf a little bit of it. So you just can't, like, it's not quite as accurate. You still have to judge for the arch a little bit. So that's been updated. The Mangler has a faster rate of fire. For the legendary version, the Impact Commando has less bloom, and the ADS is a little bit more snappy. The Ravager has had a lot of changes done to it. The splash effect will deal more damage over time, and a direct hit from it will now be an insta-kill. So that helps. Unbound Plasma Pistol. The primary shot now shoots 3 individual projectiles. It also has a little bit more heat resistance, so it takes a little bit more time for it to overheat if you're doing single trigger presses. And they've also added the EMP effect to it as well. And they've made a slight tweak to the Flex Fire Sniper, where the weapon swap time, they call that the ready up time. So whenever you swap a weapon and it has to come up to reload, or before you can actually shoot it, they've reduced that time down a little bit as well. Talked about the grenades a little bit. Vehicles have also gotten a little bit of a boost. They've reduced the health on the wings of the ghost. They decreased the ghost's reverse speed, and slowed down the lateral movement. So they basically have done a big nerf to the Ghost, which kind of makes sense because I feel like the Ghost is definitely one of the more versatile and effective vehicles
in
Halo Infinite at this point. So
they made a lot of changes to the Banshees.
Yep. Doesn't take as much damage when scraping or colliding with surfaces. They've adjusted the recovery time for the Banshee bomb, so it's faster there. And the projectile is actually faster too. They've also made some movement updates with the whenever you do the Banshee roll, how your velocity is tracked and maintained as well. So that's it for the sandbox updates. Lots of changes, lots of balances coming next Tuesday. Definitely going to change my dailies with Super Fiesta and Husky Raid. So I'll get to learn all these adjustments. And then the last thing we have is a ranked update. They talk about some of the significant weapons that are used across competitive. So they recap those. They also update some of the layouts for the competitive maps that are being used. Specifically for Aquarius, they have swapped the thruster and overshield, so the overshield now spawns on the top middle on the bridge instead of where the thruster pack was. So I think they probably have a little bit different spawns to support that. They've done some changes to matchmaking and CSR requirements for having to either match solo or being able to match with the party. So instead of having a floor of 1600 CSR, the floor is now 1700 CSR before you have to switch to solo or duo searching for those ranked playlists. There's a lot of other things in here regarding some of the updates for Slayer map stuff. I'm sure HGS Pro Talk's going to cover this, so I'm going to give them a plug and say go over and check them out, and they'll be probably talking about a lot of this more in detail. So that's what we have to look forward to next week. Atlanta's also this weekend for HCS, for those that are tracking along at home. That starts tomorrow as of when we're recording this. By the time you're listening to this, it's probably happening right now. Hopefully you'll be listening to this before Championship Sunday. So head on over to Twitch to get your drops. For those going to Atlanta, which I know is quite a few people, safe travels out there. Look forward to seeing you all in Worlds. Anything to wrap up with, GT? Any thoughts on the updates, what you're looking forward to?
Yet to be determined. You know me, I like to play with the stuff before I comment.
Of course. I am looking forward to VIP being back.
The changes to the Evo have me really interested. It's got me looking forward to using it.
That's good. It's nice when changes are exciting.
And all right. Maybe I'll actually be able to get a kill with a Radranger now.
I hope so, because I feel like
it's not a melee kill.
I felt like that weapon's been underpowered since launch of Halo Infinite. So I'm glad to see it's finally getting, I think, the buff that it's needed for quite some time. And I don't know why this didn't show up before, but 343 also has a article that they posted about all the events happening this week at the Atlanta Major, posted by FaZe Clan. So that's over on Waypoint as well. All right. Well, thank you all for tuning in. We'll see you all on Fraggin' Friday. Not in our Discord. If not, we'll catch you all on the next episode. Have a good night. Thank you for listening to Podtacular, the unofficial Halo Universe podcast. You can find our podcast on your favorite podcasting service and listen to us live every Thursday night at 8:30 p.m. Eastern Time on Twitch. Check out our website, podtacular.com, and join the community on Discord at podtacular.com/discord. If you want to play Halo with us, come join us for Fraggin' Fridays at 8:30 p.m. Eastern Time. You can find us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube. Become a supporter of the show by sharing the show with your friends and family. Or help keep the lights on by subscribing to us on Twitch, donating via PayPal, or becoming a patron alongside Confal, Pens Halo, and Prestige Ace. Until next time, keep on fragging trucks.